Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Happy Easter, everyone. I woke up really early this morning, beat the birds up this morning and got outside and stood in the darkness there for a minute and thought about the first Easter morning, and it was silent. And nobody knew yet what we know today. Nobody knew that Jesus was up out of the grave, but they were about to find out. And today, there are hundreds of millions of people all over the earth that are doing exactly what we're doing here this morning, that they're gathering together to worship Jesus. And what we know is this: we know what happened. Hundreds of millions of people all over the earth know what happened. And we know that Jesus of Nazareth, a rabbi, ancient rabbi, was crucified. We know that he was laid in a tomb dead. We know that 3 days after that, he rose from the grave, and that's what happened. And we also know this. We know that knowing is not the same as caring, and caring is knowing it affects my life or the life of someone I really care about. Knowing is not the same as caring, and caring is actually knowing that it affects my life or it affects someone that I really care about. And I would love for us to think about it this way, just because this is what I'm thinking around this. It's this, that this morning when you got up and you got eventually ready and you made your way to church, before you left the garage, I wonder how many of us actually got on our phones and looked up the traffic report for Atlanta, Georgia. Anybody do that, right? None of us. Why? Because how ridiculous would that be? It makes no difference to us at all. But I wonder how many of us, maybe sometime this week, or maybe even this morning, we looked up the weather report because we live in Michigan, and we need to know, is it a raincoat day, or is it a winter coat day? Is it a short sleeve day? Is it a long sleeve day? That one, actually, it matters to us. It matters to us. And what happened is something, but how it actually matters to my life is something more. And I wonder if that's also true about Easter. If this is true about Easter, that Easter never becomes real to us until a shift happens inside of us. Something goes on inside of us when we see that it isn't just about what happened then, but why it matters to me now. Why does what happened then actually matter to me now? And there were four guys, a whole lot more than that, but four guys that it really mattered to them. It actually changed their entire lives. And each one of them wrote a story about Jesus. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Matthew was one of their names. Mark, Luke, John. Each one of them wrote a story about Jesus, the accounts of Jesus' life. And Matthew, his life was so transformed that he gave his life. Eyewitness account of Jesus' life. And what he wrote, hundreds of millions of people around the world today are reading this story of what happened then. But for Matthew, his hope was, his dream would be, that it wouldn't just matter for then, but it would matter for someone for, I don't know if he dreamt this far because it's 2,000 years later, but it would matter for you. Like, really matter for you now in your life right here. So we're gonna look at the story that Matthew wrote. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And all the words will be on the screen. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible, go ahead and open to Matthew 28. And in the question for us today really is this. What if what happened then, long time ago, that everybody knows about what happened, Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus was laid in a tomb, Jesus rose again. What if that actually really matters to us right here, right now in this world? What if it really matters for us now? So let's read the story together. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers, and go to Galilee, and there they will see me." That's what happened. That's what happened. And even what happened is absolutely incredible, because what happened, nobody could have possibly predicted. Nobody, apart from Jesus, could have actually thought that's actually going to happen, because what happened is not something that happens. People that die get laid in the tomb, and nobody expects them to come out of it. And proof of that is in the story that we just read. All those guards that were gathered around that tomb that were there did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. They were shocked when Jesus was out of the grave. The tomb is empty. Shocked. The sight of that angel, they became like dead men. And Mary, as they made their way to the tomb that morning, as we read in the other Gospels of Luke and Mark and in the Gospel of John, we can read other detail as they leaned into the story. We know that they were carrying spices. They were coming to anoint Jesus' body, as was custom during that day. Why would you carry spices? Why would you travel with oil? Why would you walk to the tomb to go do that work if you didn't actually think you were going to do it? They didn't expect the tomb to be empty either. And when they met up with Jesus, this is what happened. When they met up with Jesus and he said, "Greetings," they dove to his feet, held him, worshiped him. And then they did what Jesus said: "Go tell the disciples." So they made their way over to the disciples, who also didn't think he would be up from the grave. And they began to tell with enthusiasm what happened. We went over to the grave. We had the spices and the oil, and we were going to anoint Jesus' body, and he wasn't there. And then we were walking. We met an angel, and then we were walking away, and the angel told us that Jesus was up. And then we met him, and we held him, and we worshiped him. And here's what he said to us. And the disciples are like, "Yeah, no. Nope. Your enthusiasm is not convincing us." Why? And it's precisely because, of course, dead people don't come out of the grave. And until they saw him themselves, until they laid hands on him themselves, they didn't believe. And one of the greatest shocks of the story at all is that Jesus actually came up from the grave. It's the greatest surprise of Easter at all that he actually did. Actually, one of the greatest proofs as well that it actually happened because there were 500 plus people all at one time that eventually laid eyes on Jesus with their own eyes, with their own ability to lean in and to say, now I've seen and now I believe that he has risen. And I don't know if you caught, this is an amazing little part of this story right here. It's in verse 6. And it says these words right here. He is not here. Jesus isn't here. This is what the angel said. He's risen. Just as he, wait a minute, said? Just as Jesus said. So Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection? Yep. He actually spoke about it in this fashion, that this body and your body, if you are a follower of Jesus, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit, or like the place that God dwells in such tight, beautiful relationship with us that he takes up residence in us. And Jesus said, they will tear this temple down, and in 3 days, it will be built back up again. They will kill me, and in 3 days later, I will rise again from the grave. That is what happened. And one of the preachers in our land that I love the most, Andy Stanley, he said about that moment, these words right here, he said, if a man can predict his own death and resurrection and then pull it off, I just go with whatever that man says. Isn't that great? I mean, if a guy can say, they're going to kill me, they're going to put me in the grave, and I'm going to rise again, and he pulls it off, let's go with what that guy says. He's good for his word. Let's go with what that guy says. When he says something, he can deliver on it, for sure. And then I would say, so that's what happened. But how does that matter to you? And how does that matter to me? And what might that mean for you and I actually here now? Not way back then, right here, right now. Because then I would say, well, if whatever he says, I'm just going to go with it. Because he's good for his word, then what else did Jesus say? What else did he say that might matter for me and might matter for you? Like, really matter for you today. But Jesus said something so beautiful and so incredible. And if you wondered, would it have been better to live before Jesus, during the time of Jesus, at this point in history? Well, this is where we're at. And I will say we are a privileged people. Because what Jesus said was, to see me is to see the Father. And he's good for his word. Which means we live in the generation that we have God's word. We have the scripture. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's teachings about what Jesus' life was like. Which means we can actually get a glimpse into what God is and who he is. We don't have to guess about this. We see it on display. And what we see in the person of Jesus is that he was a friend, it says, of sinners. Which is everyone. Nobody is without sin. None of us are living in a place where we could say, I've never made a mistake in my life or never made a on purpose. Did that one on purpose right there, and boy, that was not smart. Every one of us belongs to that, and it says that Jesus doesn't call you his servant. He doesn't call you cursed. He actually calls you a friend. That's amazing. And then he went on to prove it. One person after another, you could see, didn't matter what their story was or where they did, what they did, when they did it, he came alongside of them and did what only Jesus can do. He forgave them and found a way to put them back in relationship with God again, that they might have intimacy with God. He took people's lives that were heading this direction and were on a train wreck. And he turned them around that they might have a brand new start. Jesus hung out with children. And it tells us that our children, Our children matter much to Jesus, and he poured into them. He healed the broken. He was there for the people that were feeling oppressed. He came alongside those people that were struggling in life. And you see one story after another where he said, now, if you want to know what God is like, just take a look at the way I've lived. I put him on display. You don't have to guess anymore about what maybe this God that I've never seen is like. Now you've seen, and now you've heard. Now you know the stories. This is the heart of God. He sees you. He knows you. He cares for you. He's not in the business of creating more shame for you. He's in the business of forgiving and redeeming and restoring and putting you back into that right place that you can really experience life. This past week, if you're around Fairhaven on a normal basis, you will probably recognize this name. If you're new here, Fairhaven has a friend in the Archbishop of Uganda. We know him personally, and he's been a friend of mine for 25 plus years, and he's going to be with us here in the month of May, staying with Kathy and I at her home. And I just texted him because it's kind of what pastors do at this time of year. We're all texting each other, praying for you on Easter. And it's a big day. It's the biggest of days. Without the resurrection, what we're doing would be ridiculous. But because Jesus rose again from the grave, everything has the possibility of being changed. And so I texted Stephen Kazimba and just said, hey, I'm praying for you. And I sent that on Thursday through a WhatsApp. I got a response from him, and his response was, thank you. Today, I've met with all the media outlets, the major ones, the major networks of the country of Uganda, and have preached a message that's been recorded and will be sent on the airwaves across the country of Uganda on Sunday, which means it's already happened. They're hours ahead of us. Already happened. And he said, and then I'll be preaching three services on Sunday that are at the main cathedral of the nation. From there, he's going to be traveling throughout today. He's already traveling right now throughout the country, preaching the gospel. He said, on Friday, I'm going to be going through the streets, leading worship services in the streets where people might not be able to come to church or wouldn't go to church. And so I'm going to be going through the streets, and we have police escorts that are going to shut down sections of roads so we can worship the one who gave his life for us. And then he described what he was going to be doing on Saturday, and I went, I don't know anybody that's doing this much in all of my acquaintances with other pastors, and I actually don't know anybody that leads at a higher level than him. Nobody I know has more influence than him. And then he said this. But my favorite thing is this. Today, I had the opportunity to go to the homes of some families where children are suffering. And I went, wow. And he went door to door to homes where he knew the stories of the children that were behind those doors. And he stepped in and he just sat down with them. And he said, I was able to pray with them, just be with them and pray over those families. It's a really important man. The Archbishop of Uganda, who's talking to media outlets and preaching at the cathedral, and police escorts stop traffic in order for him to be able to preach in regions. And he just went, there's a child over there that's not feeling well. There's a child over there that deals with some stuff that make life really hard for that kid. And then because of that, makes life really, really, really hard for that family. And he was taking hands and praying over those people. That is so much like Jesus. And Jesus said, you want to know what the Father's like? It's like him showing up at somebody's house, which he did again and again and again. Showing up to a guy's house. You have any friends? No. I'll be your friend. Want to have lunch together? Yeah. Yeah, I do. His life got transformed by that friendship. That, he said, is what God is like. Oh, what happened back then? It matters a lot. And why it matters is because that is how God sees you. What else did Jesus say? He said, he's good for his word. I came that you might have life to the full. I want that. I want that. I've been in places and sometimes still feel like something's off. I want something more. I want life to the full. And if you can come out of the grave, then how about that? And Jesus said, I will never leave you. If we kept reading the rest of the story there from chapter 28 in Matthew, what we eventually see, I will be with you always. Well, Jesus, we're going to need that. We really do need that because tried to do life on my own, tried to get life to the full on my own, did all that work by myself and wasn't able to capture it. And if I can get it, I'm going to need you to be with to actually help me to get there. Because in the background, sort of sitting in the shadows of life itself, there are these questions that almost all of us, I would dare say every single one of us, have asked. Either we're still asking them or we have asked them. And the questions are, if only questions, if only I hadn't done that. If only I could overcome my pain. If only I could undo what I did. If only my worst moment didn't continue to define me. If only I could start over. If only I could silence that voice of shame. If only I could experience true, deep forgiveness. If only I could just stop. If only I could learn to trust people again. If only death wasn't so final. Had the final word. And some of these if onlys, if we're just real and really get in touch with those today, some of these if onlys inside of us that sit in the shadows, we might not bring them out for other people to see, but if onlys we were serious about them and acknowledged them here today, they seem so impossible to overcome or so improbable that it would ever be able to be overcome. And that also is what happened back then. Just saying. It's what happened back then too. It was the disciples. If only we hadn't anchored all of our hope to this man named Jesus. And then that, if only it hadn't gone the way that it just did. If only in the moment where Jesus was looking at me, this is Peter, if I just wouldn't have said, I don't know him. Why did I do that to him? Why would I do that to him when he meant so much to me, but I did. Now I have no chance to undo that. If only they hadn't been so cruel to such a good man and beat him and tortured him. Put crown of thorns that embedded into his forehead. If only they hadn't hoisted him up on that cross. If only they hadn't killed him. If only they hadn't laid him in the grave. If only death wasn't so final. And then in the silence of that first Easter morning that if left the room. The ifs that we wonder, is there any chance for these things to ever leave? Is there any chance for them to ever be undone? Is there any chance that Jesus could actually do something about this? And the if only gave way to only Jesus. Only Jesus can conquer the grave. Only Jesus could predict his own death. Only Jesus, only him, there is none other. Never in the history of this world, none other that could actually say, 3 days later, I'm going to defeat death. It doesn't have the final words. Only Jesus has the power to do that. And the question would be, if he can do that, what can't Jesus do? Only Jesus has the ability to actually see a human being and know, I have the power to restore and renew. Only Jesus can look at you and say, you do not have to any longer be defined by your worst mistake. Let me tell you who you are. You're my child. You're my beloved. You are the one that I came to die for. You are the one that I rose for. Only Jesus has the ability to take a sin-dead life and make it alive in Christ. Only Jesus, I've experienced it. People all around you have experienced this. We're not the same people that we were. He has the ability to take the life that we have and then change that life and make us into new people. That we would say, I'm not that man anymore. I don't think the way I used to think. I don't live the way I used to live. I'm experiencing freedom and peace like I've not experienced before in my life. Only Jesus has the power to actually look at you and say, I can give you life to the full. And when you get free in me, you get free indeed. This is the resurrection. It's not just something that happened back then. It is something that we can experience here today now. Amen? So not just only Jesus, but I'm going to say this today before we wrap this up. Only you, and this is such incredible news. Only you can say yes to only Jesus, but you can. It was Tim, years ago, that at a moment like this said, okay, I want that. I want a real relationship with God. What now? It was Michelle. Walked into the office and said, man, I've tried it all. I've tried it all. I've tried sex. I've tried alcohol. I've tried trying to purchase things that would make me feel better. I've tried it all. None of it has worked. I'm tired. I give up. What do you have? Only Jesus. Only him. It's one person after another that have stepped into the waters of baptism or stepped into a relationship with Jesus and said, what happened then? I know, I already knew that, but that it could happen in me. Okay, that matters. That matters a lot to me. That I would have hope that the stuff that I've called ifs could actually become, in the hands of Jesus, transformed and renewed, namely me, and made different. And so this morning, only you. I want to invite you in this morning here, on this Easter morning, 2026. May it be the moment. May it be the moment for you that you go, I'm not playing ifs anymore. I just want to go with Jesus on this one. I want to step into that. And may this be the moment that you offer yourself to him. Let's pray together. Very clear, Lord, that you offered yourself to the world. That you came into this world to seek and save that which was broken and that which was lost. You put on display the very heart of your Father, the one that calls us his children here. Only you, Jesus, have the power to transform a human life. Only you, Jesus, have the power to take that which we have been living with and want to be done with and the shame that we have carried or the guilt that we hold on to. Only you can say, forgiven. We say, really? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done? Yeah. I know you better than you even know yourself. And what's surprising, maybe to you, is I love you more. More than you could ever imagine. Look to the cross for you. To my wounds, it was for you. That I could reconcile you to myself. This morning, Lord, we who have already been in a place where we said, only you, you're my Savior. Only you, you're my Lord. I'm going to live for you. We remember in this moment what a huge gift that is. And we bless you. And if there be anyone here this morning that is carrying an if only in their life and they're looking saying, could it be true that the one who resurrected from the grave could resurrect this in my life? Could it be true that if death doesn't have the final word, then anything that I'm experiencing in this life must not have the final word either? Could it be true that God loves me that much, that he would join me in this journey and heal and restore and redeem and renew? May you, by your Holy Spirit, even now, as they offer themselves to you, who had already offered yourself to them, confirm in their hearts that they believe in their heart, have the ability to confess with their lips that you are Lord. And today, not someday, but today, salvation comes to their house, to who they are. They are yours now and forever, and we bless you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.